This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Tomorrow is the court-ordered deadline for the Trump administration to reunite children under the age of five with their families after they got separated at the border by immigration authorities. So today, the government is conducting genetic testing on young children and on their purported guardians hunting for a match. What could the government do with that data? How likely is it to help these families? Is this ethical? Is this legal? To learn more, I have Seattle University law professor Deborah Ahrens with me. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you.
What is the government proposing to do and why?
To my understanding, they already have begun DNA testing children and parents to try to establish a child-parent relationship, and they're using a third-party DNA testing company to do that.
To see if there's a relationship. We have so many questions around that. We asked on Facebook for our listeners' questions, and Heather writes, what if the child is a stepchild or an adopted child or niece or nephew or grandchild?
Well, and the information about what DNA tests the government is using is fairly limited. It's not clear exactly what tests are being conducted, but the best guess seems to be that the test that the government is likely to be using, or that the third-party provider is likely to be using, is good at establishing parent-child relationships. So if you are the genetic parent of a child, that should show up. But it's less good about establishing grandparental relationships, an aunt and a niece, or an aunt and a nephew. Those kinds of relationships may not show up or may not show up accurately. And certainly if you don't have a genetic relationship with the child, you're not going to show up as genetically related to the child. And that's likely to happen. A number of individuals coming in are likely to be legal guardians or social guardians for immigrant children with whom they're not related. And even someone who believes themselves, for example, to be the biological father of a child may not, for a variety of reasons, actually be that child's biological father. The mother may have had an affair. The mother may have been sexually assaulted. A lot of folks are fleeing countries that have a lot of violence and maybe, in fact, expressly fleeing sexual violence. And so you may have fathers who are not genetically related to children who they are legally the father of.
Okay, so whatever DNA can or cannot establish about this child-adult relationship, what about the legality of children having their DNA sample taken? Can they consent to that legally, a kid?
It's very difficult to think of a 3-year-old or a 10-month-old, as some of the children who are in custody are, as being capable of legally consenting to anything. On the other hand, generally, the way in which we govern things that are what we would term searches, and collecting DNA from someone is certainly a search, is we call those searches that are governed under the Fourth Amendment. And normally you need probable cause and a warrant in order to perform a search. When the government is performing the search for some reason other than to investigate crime, however, and here the purpose would be to reunify children and their parents, those searches don't require probable cause, a warrant, or consent. The government might be able to proceed without any particular suspicion, and here they probably would have a decent reason for doing so. So legally, I don't think the government would need consent from the children. Ethically, given the kinds of things that could possibly be done with the DNA once it's collected, I think that's a closer question, particularly if the government has other options for identifying guardian-child relationships.
Why? What do you mean by how this DNA might be used?
Well, and at this point, it's unclear how DNA is going to be used. A government spokesman had said that the swabs themselves would be destroyed, the swabs that are being used to collect DNA, but they didn't say anything about what would happen with the DNA profiles. And that's just a mystery. There aren't really rules about what the government's supposed to do with DNA profiles once they collect them. It's not really clear what the government would do with those DNA profiles, but it's not clear if there's going to be a database that would be used to collect those DNA profiles, but certainly to any extent that DNA is going to be collected and maybe used for other purposes, children aren't in a position to really consent to any of that.
Okay, that answers one of the questions on Facebook that listener Zanna wrote in with. Is a database being created? We don't know. Zanna also wants to know, if a child is deported with their family and then attempts to immigrate again on their own, will their DNA in this database, which we don't know about, be used to profile them later on.
And that's entirely possible. If the government does retain the DNA profiles, you could have someone who is deported at an age where they're not really even aware that that's what's going on. A 10-month-old, even a 5-year-old, probably isn't going to be really aware of the legal processes under which they were deported. And then it is actually a much worse offense to re-enter the United States after you've been deported than to simply enter the United States without authorization. So you could end up in a position, certainly, where you have someone who was deported as a child, the government has retained their DNA profile, and can readily prove that they were actually deported previously.
You mentioned the possibility of other options. I think most people want these families to be reunited, so maybe DNA is the key to bringing many children and families together.
And it certainly may be a process that's quicker than some of the other options that are available now that the government's separated the families. Obviously, if the government had not separated the families, we wouldn't be having this conversation in the first place.
Right.
But now that the families are separated, it may be that DNA is the fastest way to reunify at least some of these families. Generally, the government, when it is using DNA in an immigration context, is using it as a last resort once other legal documentation can't prove a particular relationship. But to my understanding, the legal documentation verification takes longer. So that's part of why the government is going to DNA first here.
They do have a court-ordered deadline,
right,
as we said.
Right. They have a court-ordered deadline, and DNA testing may make it easier for them to meet that deadline. Other methods other than legal documentation. To my understanding, a number of parents have been able, again, based on court order, to establish phone contact with their children. So maybe there are processes related to that, interviews and so forth, that could be conducted to establish the parent-child relationship or the guardian-child relationship. But it may be that the reason the government is using DNA is because that process is likely to be faster.
Yeah, I can imagine tomorrow's court-ordered deadline is for 5-year-olds and younger. I remember when my kids were under 5, I don't know that anything they would have said to an immigration official would have been helpful, you know, necessarily. I don't know that they would have known how to help track down their dad.
No, I think that's right. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I don't think either of them could give you my full name,
right,
anything other than mom. I'm not sure either of them. I'm certainly sure that the 2-year-old doesn't know her address or what country she's in. So absolutely, I think with very young children, it's probably difficult based on interviews with the children themselves to establish that relationship.
So if the best case scenario is families are reunited, do you have a worst case scenario in mind right now?
I think one of the worst case scenarios we've already talked about a bit, which is that there are going to be children who won't be reunited with their guardians because they don't have a biological parent-child relationship with them.
Yeah.
So that's certainly a really terrible outcome that can happen here if you don't have that kind of ability to establish. The other bad outcome is one we simply don't know about. Most people don't voluntarily surrender DNA samples to the government because they worry about what might be done later on down the line to be used in a law enforcement context, to be used to deny them health care, other things that we don't even know are possible negative consequences of the federal government having your DNA. So the second bad thing that could happen is we're just not sure. We're not sure what use the government could put DNA samples to in the future.
Again, tomorrow is the court-ordered deadline for the Trump administration to reunite the youngest children under 5 with their families. Any chance they're going to meet that deadline?
Since the government's already saying no, I'm doubtful that they're going to meet the deadline.
Okay. We've been talking with Deborah Ahrens. She's associate professor of law at Seattle University, talking about how much we still don't know. Let's keep following it then together and keep learning together, Professor.
No, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's The Record on KUOW Seattle. Fake news on the UW campus in a moment.